Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is the gospel appointed for this Sunday. We read in St. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But she was greatly troubled by the statement and was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Listen, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, even though she was called barren, and this is her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible for God." Then Mary said, "See, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God and eager expectors of our celebration of the birth of our Savior. God's angels have the blessed work of sharing good news with every home. Just 6 months earlier, the angel Gabriel had shared good news with Elizabeth that she was going to have a son. And now she came to this young virgin, Mary, Miriam in Hebrew, to tell her that she too was going to have a child. And even his greeting is something positive, something joyful. Greetings. In English, we might say, "Good day," or "Good, it's going to be a good day for you, because of what I'm going to tell you." We call the angel's encounter with Mary the Annunciation. Annunciation means the announcement of something. This young girl, when she got up that morning, could not have imagined the conversation that she was going to have. But who could have? But it was a conversation that was going to change her life. And not only would it change her life, not only would it change the life of her betrothed, Joseph, but God, Gabriel's message is also life-altering for us. The angel's two-pronged message to Mary is also his message to us. That "I've got good news for you" applies to the entire world as it applied to Mary. And what was the good news? You have found favor with God, and nothing is impossible with God. Mary was one in a million. I don't mean that she was one in a million in that she was holy in her own nature and holy in her own virtue by reason of some kind of immaculate conception. Mary was a sinner just like we are. Mary was no different than all the other young virgins in Israel. What made Mary one in a million was God's choice of her. What made her unique and special was not herself, but what the angel Gabriel called her. You who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. God's choice of Miriam, of this particular young virgin, a descendant of David in Israel, was entirely made in the mind and in the heart of God. God chose her not because of her, but because of him, God. The word literally means in his sight, in his judgment, for no other reason, he chose this one to do the work that he had for her. And what was Mary's work? What was Mary's new vocation? It was to be the mother of God. Through her, the eternal Son of God would come into the flesh. He would become and be Emmanuel, God with us. In God's sight, by his judgment alone, and with his act of love, he would have her conceive and bear a son. And he would be with her for all of that. Since Mary had a great awareness of her own sin and sense of her own guilt before God, what the angel told her perplexed her. It was troubling to her that the angel would say that you have found favor with God, because she, as we, saw no reason for that in herself. And Luke tells us that not only was she troubled and perplexed by the angel's message, but just as greatly, Mary was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Remember when Jesus was born, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She thought them over in her mind. Well, she already did that here too. She began to think, why would the Lord do this for me? What is this going to mean for me? I'm just trying to imagine some scenarios where the angel would tell me that God was doing this for me. Well, she didn't have to wonder long. She didn't have to ask those questions very long, because Gabriel, speaking for the Lord, repeated the reason for the work that she was going to do. You have found favor with God. I've got good news for you. God, in his judgment, has chosen you for this special task of being the mother of his eternal Son. This is the greatest good news, and God is going to be with you as you carry it all out. This news, Gabriel was telling her, has come from the God in whom you believe. It's coming from the God you know loves you and will take care of you. Gabriel's words to Mary, I've got good news for you. You have found favor with God, apply also to us and to the entire world, as they applied to Mary. What takes place in the conception and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God is done entirely by God's favor, done alone according to his will, and given to us who do not deserve it. Don't we find those words perplexing? It would be like somebody saying to us, or somebody saying that they are going to give us something really good, but they know that we know that they know that we don't deserve it. So they're not hiding anything from us. They're not making any conclusions that we don't realize ourselves. Mary knew she didn't deserve God's favor, and so do we, don't we? It's troubling to us that God would be so gracious to us. Why would God do that? Well, the answer is, you have found favor with God. I've got good news for you. You have found favor with God. Because of nothing in your nature, because of nothing in your virtue, did God send His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He did it because in His own heart, in His own mind, in His own eternal will, in His love, He determined that He would send His Son to redeem us, that He would live holy lives for us and die our deaths under the punishment of sin. God calls us out of sin and unbelief to serve Him. God called Mary to serve Him, to be the mother of His Son. God has called us to serve Him. Our vocations, our tasks in this world are to live lives of righteousness and blessedness, of obedience and love to God and to our neighbors. That is the result of His gracious choice. We too might consider, what kind of greeting is this? When we look inside our hearts and see no reason for God to grant us such a high calling. God chose us to be Christians, to be forgiven, to go to heaven for one reason. You have found favor with God. Now, what specifically was that good news I have for you that Gabriel was sharing with Mary and with us? Now, at first, it might seem to be that she was going to have a son, and that son is the Savior. That certainly is good news. But that's really the result of the good news. The best good news is nothing is impossible with God. And that's why all of this was able to happen. That's why all of this could take place. People today, sadly, even within visible Christianity, even sadly in some parts of visible Lutheranism, deny the virgin birth of Christ. But what are they really denying? That nothing is impossible with God. They're really saying this couldn't happen. That this isn't something that is the natural way of things. It really is nothing unique or special. And what they're really saying is that some things are impossible with God. Or that there's something in His will that is different from what the Bible says. It was God's will and within His possibility to have His eternal Son born of a virgin, to become a true human being, born under the law to obey it for us, to redeem us who are under the law by suffering and dying on the cross. The good news for us is nothing is impossible with God. And the good news is that because of that, God sent His Son into the world. Gabriel's words bear repeating as we prepare this afternoon to celebrate that miracle. Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. As a believer, as a descendant of David, Mary did not doubt what the angel said she was going to do. She was certainly excited that God was finally going to fulfill his promise, and that David's son and David's Lord, as Psalm 110 says, would be that same person, as we heard in Samuel. That physical descendant of David would sit on David's eternal throne and rule over the kingdom of God forever. And now that king of the kingdom of grace was going to be born. So unlike Zechariah, who when Gabriel said, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son, said, how is that going to happen? We're too old. Mary simply asked a good question. How is that going to happen? And Gabriel told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Notice all the wonderful identifying names of her son. She didn't even get to pick the name. Gabriel said, God is telling you to name that baby in Greek, Jesus, in Hebrew, Joshua, which means the one who saves. He is the Great One. He is the Son of the Most High. He is the Holy One. He is the Son of God. God, through Gabriel, told Mary of this wonderful miracle that was going to take place. And he shared with her another miracle that I just mentioned, and that is the birth, the conception 6 months earlier of John the Baptist. In modern terms, what Gabriel said to Mary is, your geriatric relative, so long considered sterile, has now conceived a son, and she's 6 months along. And that son, of course, is John the Baptist. John the Baptist would be born and grow up, and he would be the one who would prepare the way to reveal his cousin as the Messiah. Nothing is impossible with God. This is the second prong of what Gabriel meant when he told Mary, I've got good news for you. And Mary relied on that truth, didn't she? In great faith, in spite of all the negatives that she and Joseph would face in the coming days, she was willing to do and be the Lord's servant. She would offer herself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, as her spiritual worship. She said, see, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. What an outstanding example for us. Even facing all the seeming impossibilities, even facing all the problems and difficulties that she knew she and Joseph were going to have to face, she would do what the Lord called her to do. She would do what the Lord asked her to do. And isn't that true also of us? When the Lord asks things of us, we don't go first to the impossibilities. We go first to the possibilities. Nothing is impossible with God. So in spite of all the seeming impossibilities, in spite of all the problems, in spite of all the hurdles and challenges that God asks us to go through in our lives as Christians, we go into them as Mary did, saying, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then hear God say, don't worry, nothing's impossible with me. Because I have carried out for you the greatest possibility. Remember when Jesus was teaching the disciples one time that human beings can't save themselves, they asked the question, well, who then can be saved? And you remember Jesus' answer? With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. He could even save you from your sins. He could even remove your guilt. He could even rescue you from hell by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not an impossibility. It is the greatest possibility that you and I have been redeemed from our sins and are forgiven and will spend eternity in heaven. It was possible for God to come into the world and become a human being. It was possible for God to keep the law and die on the cross. It was possible for God to rise from the dead and to return to His throne in heaven. It was possible for the Son of God to become Emmanuel, which means God with us. Mary believed and willingly carried out the tasks that God had for her, knowing that she had received the blessing that this Son would be her Redeemer. Every indication of Luke's words is that Mary started out perplexed and afraid. In fact, when Gabriel says to her, Mary, do not be afraid, literally it means stop being afraid. So Mary started out afraid, perplexed. Then the good news of the gospel of her salvation came to her, that through her, the Redeemer, the Son of God, would come into the world. And that good news removed her fear, removed her perplexity, and moved her in loving service to willingly dedicate herself to her God. Doesn't that sound a lot like us? When we're afraid and perplexed because of our sins, the good news of the gospel of our Redeemer and salvation comes to us. As the birth of that child takes place that, God willing, we'll celebrate later today. And what does that gospel do? It replaces the fear and uncertainty and enables us to say with Mary, may it be to me as the Lord has said. Lord, I will serve you and do your will because I know that nothing's impossible with you and that you are with me. When we hear our gracious God say through Gabriel, I've got good news for you, we know that that didn't just mean Mary, but that also means us. Amen.